Hello and welcome to another episode of the PA Path Podcast. Before we get started, we would like to extend a special thank you to our episode sponsor, Aquifer. Today we speak with Dr. Dana Villmore from the University of New England PA program in Portland, Maine. Dr. Villmore is an assistant clinical professor, and she has been with the program for several years in various capacities. She's been a primary care PA for over 9 years, and she has a PhD in immunology and microbiology from the University of Florida. Dana, welcome. We're excited to learn about your program. Could we start first with just your path to becoming a PA? Tell us how you ended up going down this path.
Sure, and thank you so much for having me, Evan. So my path to being a PA was very circuitous. It's not your typical path. I had started out as wanting to go to med school back in the day, and then got really hooked on doing basic science in college. I ended up going to get my doctorate because I really loved doing research, and did that on type 1 and type 2 diabetic bone loss. And it was during that time in my doctorate program that I was drawing blood from human subjects and talking with them, and was like, wow, I really want to treat you and not just take your blood and make new cells out of it. So I, at that point, had been in upper ed for going on 9 years, was not really looking to get into a med school program and do another 8 years. So I wanted to get out there and treating patients. And I had just heard about PA as a new career and got treated by one, and was astounded by how much he knew and how personable he was. And I was like, so what is this profession? What is this PA all about? And he talked to me about that and what the schooling was like. And I thought that was a great fit for me. I also am one of those people that likes too many things and can't pick. So not having to choose something in the very beginning and what if I change my mind later was a really big draw for me for PA. And I ended up being a primary care PA at first because, of course, jack of all trades. And I fell in love with it. And I practiced in rural Maine and then got the teaching bug.
I'm curious. So you received your PhD at the University of Florida. How did you land in Maine?
Oh, yeah. I was done with the heat. And I was looking to go to PA school somewhere in the Northeast. I ended up at Math College of Pharmacy in Boston for PA school. Absolutely had a great time, loved it. And jobs at that time were hard to get. It was in the 2014, 2015 range. Not too many people were keen on new grads, and I really wanted to be a primary care. And a job opened up in Bangor, Maine. So I was like, let's give it a go. Why not? I had gone to Maine when I was a little kid traveling to Quebec and thought it was gorgeous. But other than that, I was not planning on landing in Maine. I will say that.
And yet here you are, right?
Yeah.
So then what was the foray from clinical practice then into education like for you?
Oh, yeah. It actually was a really serendipitous thing that happened with it. So when I was doing primary care, I was able to precept students from University of New England in their family med rotation, and took two of them a year and really enjoyed it. But back when I was in my PA program, we had a rare summer off. We were one of those programs. And I was such a nerd that I was like, I'm going to teach for a summer. So I had taught at Duke University, has a talent identification program. It's like for super smart middle school kids. And I taught down at Wake Forest University in this kind of summer camp thing and did a biomedical science smorgasbord course for the 7th and 8th graders and had a ball. So I was teaching in PA school during the break and loved the classroom, but I really liked precepting too when I was in primary care. And then after a while in primary care, I'm like, I really want to be in academia. And it just so happened there was a position open at UNE, and the courses they wanted me to teach were all of my forte. It was biomedical science. I was super excited about it. Evidence-based medicine, geriatrics, all those things. And I took it and went full-time.
All things that were near and dear to your heart, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're anxious to hear a little bit about the University of New England. So tell us a little bit about your program and maybe what sets it apart from other programs and makes it unique.
Sure. We've been around since 96. Our focus is mainly that primary care PA, but we also do a lot with getting our students used to practicing in rural areas, places that are underserved, really being more independent. And we are a 24-month program, and it's highly accelerated. So you can get out knowing everything in 24 months, but it is a very intensive program. What sets us apart, we have a lot of interprofessionalism on campus here. The Westbrook College of Health Professions is the college we're a part of, and it has physical therapy, occupational therapy, social work, nursing, dental, pharmacy, you name it. And we get to collaborate with them both inside the classroom and outside the classroom, which is pretty great. We also have a really great simulation center here at UNE where we get to use high fidelity mannequins for our case-based learning courses. And our IJEP program, which I'm not biased at all, but even though I run it, but it's our interprofessional geriatrics education program. We will have students from other health professions and our students kind of team up to visit what we call an elder teacher out in the community in independent living sites in the greater Portland area. And they get to take a full history, do fall risk assessment, and also have those conversations of what do you want the rest of your life to be like? What are your goals? What are your things that you want to work on in these kind of twilight years, as we would call them? And it's a wonderful program. It's very much a humanistic course. And then in the spring IJEP semester, we focus more on the dementia, death and dying. And we do put dedicated curriculum to teaching our students how to deal with death and dying, which is unique, I think.
You mentioned that your curriculum is a two-year curriculum and it's very condensed. And people may not know that there's a variety of lengths of PA program, everything from 24 months to summer 3 years and above. Talk to me a little bit about that two-year time frame and how you streamline things into that condensed period of time. How do you feel like your curriculum differs from a program that may be a little bit longer that allows you to streamline that into a shorter period of time?
Yeah, so their first semester when they get here, we're laying a big foundation. So they are doing their anatomy course, their bioscience course, which is mine. And we do like all of cell biology, genetics, and micro in that summer. They learn how to do a full history on a patient during the summer. And then we start getting into kind of the modular-based systems. So we'll go into ophthalmology, then ENT. And then after that, pretty much we follow a module-based curriculum. During that first year, you're getting exposure in clinical medicines, disease process, how to treat it, whatnot. And then you're getting clinical assessment that goes along with it, a physical exam and diagnostics to do with it. And then pharmacology in that same unit too. So deep dive there. And then we have an integrating seminar course, which is case-based in that module. So we're really focusing it in multiple courses. And then we have smatterings of ethics and evidence-based medicine and that kind of stuff too. And that's really the first year. And then the second year is all of the rotations.
Let's take a quick break for a word from our episode sponsor, Aquifer. With so much to cover in so little time, today's PA program directors and faculty need clinical learning tools they can trust. Enter nonprofit Aquifer. They provide cases, science integrations, formative assessments, and more to ensure students hone their clinical skills. Clinicians at academic medical centers write the cases to cover topics recommended by clerkship directors. Visit aquifer.org to learn more.
Given the curriculum, I would expect that you have a particular kind of applicant you're looking for that would fit well with that mission, vision, values, culture, and curriculum. Can you talk a little bit about that quintessential applicant that you're looking for and how applicants can best prepare their application to be a successful candidate?
Sure. So I would say the biggest thing that you need to have is a really go-getter attitude. Not that's not every PA student, but also an independent learner, because a lot of this we can try to give to you in the classroom, but some you have to learn on your own, and you have to be able to assimilate that knowledge on your own without necessarily being spoon-fed. Somebody who maybe is a few years out of undergraduate is a great candidate. I think that real life experience and getting to a point where you have more perspective in life is really good. A lot of our students are former EMTs or paramedics. They've been out on the job for a few years and decided to come back to school. As far as what's going to make them very successful here, we do have a ton of support services for our students. We have learning specialists that can help them with test taking and studying techniques, time management, and things like that. But really, we are looking for somebody who can assimilate large amounts of knowledge in a short period of time and really get the application of it. It's taking that next step. Graduate school is a very different beast than undergrad, with taking that knowledge and applying it versus just regurgitating so much.
And how many seats do you typically fill each year?
We have 50 in our cohort.
Okay. And you're the only PA program in Maine, so that I would assume that gives you some opportunities for recruitment for people that really want to serve the mission for the people in Maine, underserved sites, et cetera.
Oh, for sure.
Have you also seen the benefits of that fact in terms of your clinical rotation development?
Yeah, a lot of our alumni are our preceptors. Most of our sites are, I would say, in Maine or Northern New England, but we've got them all over the country too, but definitely a strong alumni presence.
That's great. As a program that has some historical figures in the professional history, like Carl Tony, Kirsten Thompson, can you talk a little bit about how that has set the DNA of the program apart?
That's a good question. I've only been here 5 years. And I wasn't around when both of them were really here.
Okay.
But I do think that passion for rural medicine still shines even now. And a lot of our applicants talk about wanting to go back to their communities that they were in that were underserved, especially in Maine. We get a lot of Maine applicants.
Yeah. And I had the chance to serve on our board of directors with Kirsten for a little bit. So Kirsten had always given us some insight into your institution. But Carl's one of those interesting guys. He's always flown below the radar from my experience. And yet when you look him up on the PA History Society, which I encourage our listeners to do, what incredible contributions to the profession and to the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I wish I was here when he was here.
Portland is a pretty darn nice place to live. It's consistently being named one of America's most livable cities. And maybe you could just comment a little bit on what it's like to live there and how that might be a draw to students that might be thinking about your program.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will say for me, I've lived now in 4 different states. I've been in Florida, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Maine, and I love Maine. Absolutely love it. It is a different place. It is chill, and just the amount of natural beauty around is astounding. It looks like you're in a postcard all the time. And Portland was a huge draw to me when I was living up in Bangor. I was like, man, go down to Portland. It's so cool. And if you are a foodie, my goodness, this town, I have actually had literally the best meal in my life in Portland. So you do not have to go to New York City or these huge cities to get a phenomenal meal. All those chefs seem to be doing this thing where they're like, yeah, I am done with the big city. I want to go to Maine and play. And that's what they do. It's really neat. And then as far as if you love the coastline, you are set. If you want mountains, they're not far away. And the snow is not that bad, I have to say. It was way worse up in Bangor. That's legitimate snow. But down here in Portland, it's manageable. I would say a lot of our students talk about the food, talk about the outdoor activities, the vacation land atmosphere of Maine. The draw is very big. Housing-wise, it's being a challenge lately, honestly, because a lot of people have wanted to move here, especially after pandemic. They liked the atmosphere, the lifestyle, that relaxed type of vibe.
One of the things that I think all educators are struggling with and thinking about and attempting to see around corners is really the direction that not only the PA profession is headed, but that medicine is headed and that education is headed. How is your program thinking about tomorrow's PA landscape and tomorrow's healthcare landscape and tomorrow's education landscape? And kind of what are you doing to not only prepare your program for that, but then also prepare your students for practice in the future?
Yeah, I think eventually, not in the next 5 years, but eventually doing probably a longer program, like a 27-month or 30-monther, just because the amount of information a PA now has to have versus 10 years ago, 15 years ago, has changed a lot. We need to be true generalists when we get out there. We have been shifting a lot of our curriculum to incorporating more internal medicine, hospitalist type of things where they're learning how to manage big conditions and what they would do order set wise in the hospital, and also preparing them for their surgery rotations. A lot of people want to go into surgery too nowadays as PAs. And I think that when you're a new grad, sometimes those specialties, they can dedicate more training to you and mold you the way that they want. So we're trying to prepare them as much as we can. But our curriculum has definitely shifted from only primary care to, hey, you might have to take care of this too. You might have to take care of this heart failure patient. You might have to take care of this CKD patient in the hospital. What do you do? Focusing on those complicated patients is big for us.
Dana, we always like to give our guests an opportunity to share any additional thoughts they have that we didn't get a chance to cover. Is there anything else that you were hoping that we would cover about your program or about your career?
One of the things our students really enjoy about the program is the supportive nature of it. And our students are not competitive with each other. We don't do rankings like some schools do. And they really become a cohesive unit, and they do support each other through how vigorous the program this is. And the faculty are always here to support them as well. So I think that's a nice bonus when you're here. You feel like you're almost a family.
That's great. That's great. We can't thank you enough for taking the time out to share about your program and about the beautiful state of Maine. And we wish you and your colleagues the very best as you move forward.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for having me.
It's our pleasure. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Dana Villamore, for her time and insights into the University of New England PA program. It was delightful to hear about the beautiful state of Maine and all of the wonderful opportunities students have when they go there, and to learn about their vision for serving in the rural and primary care needs of their state. We would also like to give a big thanks again to our episode sponsor, Aquifer. Tune in next time as we speak with the leaders of our profession, both nationally and worldwide.